Good evening, and welcome to Release Your Wings. I'm Dan Bagley, and I'm interviewing Shireen Chadha tonight. And we're talking about overcoming addiction to sorrow. That may be a big one for some of you, and others might be saying, I don't think I have that. I don't know. So, Shireen, do you run into this often?
Very often. Very often.
Well, when we were discussing this before the show, I was recalling back when I was like, I was studying in Valencia when I was 18 and staying in a student pension. And La Senora was in there. She was, you know, an old lady, younger than I am today, but for an 18-year-old, an old lady, widow, always wore black, and always cheerful, friendly. And one morning, she comes to, we're sitting at the breakfast table, she comes out and she's clearly been crying. And her eyes are swollen, she's sad, she's depressed. And I asked one of the other students there, what's wrong? And he said, this is the anniversary of her husband's dying. And so she'll be sad all day. I went, whoa, that's interesting. The next day she was perfectly fine again. And in retrospect, I think that's probably a rather healthy thing. At some point she felt really intense sorrow. She got over it. And then she said, now for the rest of the year, I'll be fine. And next year, I'll probably feel it again, and I'll do it again. That's not addiction, though. That's just feeling sorrow. Is that right?
Yeah, it is feeling sorrow. I feel even that one day is not necessary.
It's too much after that.
It's too much. You know, yeah. I remember this is a true story, actually. We were talking about trans messages just recently. And how we have to let go of the people that we have been associated with, whether it's like your mom dying recently or in this particular case.
By the way, we had to clarify, my mother died 3 weeks ago, and so we were talking this in sorrow also.
And so there was a judge in India, and he came to the BKs for something, and he was feeling very, very sad because 3 years ago his wife died, and he was crying a lot, and he was really feeling sad, and he wanted to know what's happened to her. And so a trans messenger went, and there was this little two-year-old baby. And every time he felt sorrow, the baby was playing and happy and all of that. And every time he felt sorrow, the baby just stopped everything and started crying. Because the baby was feeling this pull from this other person. And so the best thing that we can do when people pass on is really give them good wishes and say, wonderful, you're in a much better place, like you have done with your mom, you know, really just celebrate her.
A couple of weeks ago, you said, how's your mother doing? And I said, I think she's doing better now. She passed away 2 days ago or whatever, yeah.
So that we celebrate their life and say, wonderful, great.
Yeah.
You know, in the family I was born into, in our tradition, we celebrate death as much as we celebrate marriage.
Ah, interesting, yeah. By the way, I'd be less than candid if I did not confess that I have cried over the loss of my mother. But I've not cried constantly for days and days and days. At 89 and a half, she lived a wonderful life and was very happy and was, you know, she said, my children are grown and my grandchildren are grown. I've served my purpose. Anytime now, I'm you know, the Lord wants me, I'm ready to come, to go to the next stage. So in a funny way, yeah, I miss her. I miss talking to her every evening, as I did for years. But there's no unfinished business, and maybe that's part of sorrow, that if every day you have, I have said I love you, I have been the good son or daughter, I have reached out and felt loved by you, then at some point that love continues to resonate, or at least it feels it to me, on and on and on, forever.
Right.
So in a funny way, you can miss someone without going into the sorrow. At least that's my personal experience.
Right, you can. You know, thinking about sorrow, there are a few phrases. Actually, sorrow and overcoming sorrow is a big part of my path, my spiritual path. It's not that I experience sorrow, but not only that, but there is a slogan that we use in the Brahma Kumaris, is not to take sorrow and not to give sorrow. And so I feel both are equally bad. You know, some people say, oh, but I am feeling your pain so much, I'm experiencing your sorrow, that even that, taking sorrow, is as bad as giving sorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that there's a praise that is sung of God in India, that He is the remover of sorrow and the bestower of happiness. And I like it very much, because really that when I started that very intense relationship with God, that He really removed whatever remnants of sorrow there were and bestowed happiness.
So part of the sorrow, it sounds to me, is clinging to the past or attachment to something that was, and then comparing what is now with what was.
Yeah, you know, many times I've noticed that people experience an ideal,
mm-hmm.
whether in a relationship or in a particular situation or anything like that. And when they lose that, then they experience sorrow because they're comparing themselves to that ideal.
So comparison is always a dangerous slippery slope, because, I mean, even if you're feeling good about, look how much better off I am then, that may set you up for when things don't go as well.
Right.
Big time sorrow.
Right.
What about the thing, I want to show you how much I care by how much I'm suffering, which is kind of a Western tradition here. You know, you can see, look what you did to your mother now. You know, don't you feel sorry? You made her cry, or something like that. I mean, having remorse for behavior is one thing, but do we sort of put sorrow up as
Yes, we do put it up as a pedestal, and I really feel it shouldn't be there, because I've noticed that in my life, that if I'm experiencing sorrow, there's a kind of a dependency on an illusion that I'm fostering in my life.
Uh-huh.
And what happens is this illusion is supposed to... I've created this illusion to give me happiness,
mm-hmm.
but I keep hanging on to it even if it's giving me sorrow. And when I keep hanging on to it, when that it becomes that addiction, then it really messes up my life. And so when I'm experiencing sorrow of any kind, whether I'm in India or whether I'm in the Western world,
right.
like we were talking about in the Western tradition, if I'm experiencing sorrow, I'm hanging on to something that I'm not supposed to be hanging on to.
So in a funny way, there are some, like in the West, New Thought Churches, Science of Mind, Unity and the like, when they have their healing practices, their approach, and I'm really paraphrasing how this is to see the person as complete and whole, not to be focused on the malady.
Mm-hmm.
And in a funny way, that's the opposite of sorrow.
Right.
In that I am not seeing you as dying of cancer. I am seeing you as wonderfully alive in some ways that may not be on the physical plane right now. I'm not certain if that's a good analogy on that, but seeing the old Bill Clinton line, I feel your pain, is meant to show how empathetic I am, but I'm not certain that I'd rather just help me get out of pain rather than feel it along with me. Is that...
Yeah, right. I'm not so sure he actually felt it, but... a politician. but yes, you're right. And I was also thinking about sorrow, that there is a lot of pain in the world right now.
Absolutely.
There is, but there is a difference between sorrow and pain.
Mm-hmm.
Pain, I feel, is something like emotional pain or physical pain. If I cut my hand, then I feel pain. But I need not take sorrow or suffering from that. And so there is medicine for pain, but there is really no medicine for sorrow.
So sorrow is sort of the suffering of a story built around the pain.
Exactly.
So the story might be, I'm so sensitive, I'm so much more sensitive than you, that's why I'm feeling this way.
Yeah.
That's the story, that's the
idea. Actually, maybe that's the bottom line. If you're oversensitive, you feel sorrow.
I was reading in the last week that there are certain people who have a lower pain threshold or higher pain threshold.
But that's physical pain.
That's
right?
Physical pain. Yeah, and I thought about that. I wonder how much that is conditioned story. I have not a clue. I mean, I was just reading it as a medical thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a clue on that.
But for pain, people have medicine for that. But for sorrow, I really feel the only medicine is it's not a big deal.
Yeah, which is stepping out of the story.
Yeah, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Everything is going to be all right. And also, I feel that there's something that we do in the Brahma Kumaris, and it's called service through the mind. yes, there is suffering in the world, there is sorrow in the world, there is pain in the world, however you want to put it, all of that is there. But the way I can overcome it, or the way I can help people, is that through my good wishes, through my pure feelings, through my, we call it service through the mind, through my silence, through my meditation, actually I can help other people, because vibrationally it travels.
Many years ago, I'm reading some of Barry Kaufman, he's of the Option Institute, and he is Happiness is a Choice, etc., is one of his titles, Sunrise is another. His point is, if you're happy, you will tend to take action more to help those who are less fortunate than if you're spending your energy feeling sorry.
Yeah, you get burnt out very quickly.
Yeah, and so within that, of looking at the possibility of doing good, very often is a much more functional view than looking at looking at the awfulness,
right,
which is tied, again, woven in with story.
Right.
Because the story implies on that, and nothing was going to happen, or it's going to just get worse and worse, which may or may not be the case.
Yeah. Even if it does happen, I feel the world does need the support of tranquil minds right now.
That's a new variable on this discussion thing. So a tranquil mind, does it allow sorrow?
No, you cannot have a tranquil mind if you're experiencing sorrow.
You can't have sorrow if you're experiencing a tranquil mind, because the story washes away in the tranquility.
Yes, and it's not such a big, we shouldn't put it on a pedestal. It's not a badge of honor. I've experienced so much pain in my life.
Right.
I don't
right.
think it's, I've had many experiences in my life, but the story is of being a hero. And I've overcome in this way,
right,
in this many magnificent ways, I've overcome something. That's actually a lot more appealing to the self and to others.
Mm-hmm. So we don't like martyrs, that's why we stone them, is that? So within that, then, maybe the highest and best use of our minds is really to stay as peaceful, tranquil as possible.
And also to intentionally send that tranquility to other people. That's called service through the mind.
So in a sense, it's as natural as inhaling and exhaling. As we inhale tranquility, we also exhale tranquility, which makes us more fun to be with, I would assume.
Yeah, right.
So sorrow versus depression, because I do know that, judging from the TV ads, depression
is a very big thing.
Huge thing in this country. So does sorrow lead to depression? Depression lead to sorrow? Are they the same thing, or how do they differ?
I feel depression is also like a pain. There is a physical ailment.
Mm-hmm.
But there could be certain aspects in your life that if you change, that depression will lessen.
Uh-huh.
It could be. I don't want to get into trouble and
sure.
say, for sure, this will change it.
Yeah.
But it could be. But not all depression, I feel, is just physical. It's not just a chemical imbalance. I feel that there are many times that we are not living the way we are supposed to be living. And that's why. Or we are facing the consequences of the actions that we have done in the past. Mm-hmm. Because I've met a lot of senior citizens who are depressed, and I asked a few of them, what's happening, what do you think in your depression and stuff. And they said that they really are feeling remorse for the actions they have done in
uh-huh.
their youth. And so sometimes it could be that, I'm not saying it's always that,
yeah.
but things always eventually catch up with you. But to be able to overcome depression, it's not just a chemical thing, and it's not just a mental thing, that it's a combination of both. And the sorrow you've experienced in the past, the sorrow you're experiencing right now, could be a possible reason why you're experiencing depression. But it's something much more complicated.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel that just taking medicine and thinking it'll go away.
Yeah. Well, I think it was the poet philosopher Rumi who said language is a tailor shop where nothing fits. And so we sort of are, depression is a very big tent among which many symptoms are similar, and that is what I'm hearing. But part of the wrap up on this would be that regardless of how we're feeling, if we're in a low mood, to know that it can get better. It might be through getting a peaceful mind. That's part of it, certainly. It might be having the right medical support, and it certainly is having a community or trusted therapist or people whose hearts are open to us and who can see us more whole than we can see ourselves in that context.
There's one other very, very important thing. If I don't want sorrow, then I have to make sure that I'm working towards eliminating other people's sorrow.
Ah, so take the focus off of me and put it onto someone else that I can help. Very good advice. Thank you, Shireen.
Thank you, Dan.
And thank you for joining us tonight.